Tonight, television's most honored series, the Hallmark Hall of Fame, presents the world premiere of Beyond the Blackboard.
I need somebody who loves to teach.
What school is it?
It's a new program for homeless students.
They had no classroom, no books.
They don't care about us.
But one special teacher...
I'm here to report a situation that is unacceptable.
...fought to give them the education they deserved.
Don't you think we can do better for them?
Based on the inspiring true story...
I'm going to be a teacher.
Emily Van Camp, Timothy Busfield, and Treat Williams in Beyond the Blackboard. The Hallmark Hall of Fame is brought to you by Hallmark. When you care enough to send the very best.
Now words appear as our view hovers over a school's busy campus. This film is based on a true story. In a classroom, a teacher retracts a map covering a chalkboard, then addresses elementary school students.
I have something special.
I always wanted to be a teacher. I loved the giant pull-down maps. The way brand new textbooks smelled.
A brown-haired girl opens her book as a teacher hands out a quiz.
No, you didn't, Stacy.
The brunette fills in her name.
I loved writing my name at the top of the page as though I was someone who counted.
Later, the teacher pulls down a shade and turns on a projector. As she shows a slide of the earth, Stacy watches with diligent eyes.
School was the safe place where I had a glimpse of who I wanted to be.
Nighttime, on her bed, Stacy huddles in the fetal position. She squeezes her eyes closed, then climbs off her bed. She hurries outside. In the dark, Stacy sits on a swing and reads a book with a flashlight. She glances over her shoulder at the house, then resumes reading. Now a teenage Stacy carries her books down a school's hallway.
Hey, Stacy, good luck.
Stacy gives an anxious look.
Hey, girl.
A passing classmate smiles. Stacy returns it feebly. She pushes out a breath as she walks to a locker and turns the dial on its combination lock.
I always loved school.
She opens her locker.
And at 16?
Our view drifts to her pregnant belly.
I quit.
She takes a photo off her locker door, then closes it and heads off. 8 years later, dressed in professional attire, Stacy strides down a hall. Salt Lake City, January 1987. In an office, a man reads her resume.
You graduated U of U in December.
Yes, sir.
You did well, Miss Best, but I can see it took you a long time to do it.
My high school sweetheart and I married young, and I quit school. But once I got my GED, everything moved very quickly, though juggling college and family required some flexibility.
As you know, there's not many jobs for someone just out of school.
The bearded administrator eyes her.
Are you prepared to teach 1 through 6?
Yes, sir.
Every grade, 1 through 6.
Stacy blinks her eager eyes.
Yes, absolutely.
I like your enthusiasm. I do. I need enthusiasm. I need somebody who loves to teach.
Well, I've wanted to be a teacher ever since I can remember, and I'm ready.
Well, our term started January 5th. We're already 2 weeks into the semester. If I assign you this class, I'm going to need your unqualified commitment for the rest of the school year.
Of course.
You'll have to start tomorrow. Can you do that?
That's fine. Yes, absolutely.
Here's the address.
He hands her a paper.
What school is it?
It doesn't have a name. It's a new program for homeless students.
Stacy forces a smile.
Oh. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. For personal reasons, our teacher needed some time off. You'll report to the substitute, Miss Trumbull, at 9 o'clock tomorrow. Congratulations, Miss Bass.
That's it?
That's it.
Thank you.
Standing, they shake hands. Now Stacy exits the administration building. She glances back at it, then heads away with a proud smile. This program has been described by the Media Access Group at WGBH with funding from CBS, described by Anna Capizzera, read by Gailey Heidemann. Nighttime. At home, Stacy sits at a table in the living room. Using a typewriter, she writes out a lesson plan. Week 1, geography, grammar, music appreciation. She hits the stop button on a boombox and ejects a cassette, setting it down on its case. As she resumes typing, a door opens.
Done!
A brown-haired girl and a younger blonde boy race over.
Hey. Finished!
She hands Stacy her work.
Did you understand everything in your homework?
Can Brandon and I play now? Please!
In 30 33 minutes. It's bathtub and PJs.
Okay.
Come on. The kids rush off. Later, Stacy sits on the edge of her bed and shines her pumps with a rag. She sets them below an outfit which hangs on a hook, the dry cleaning bag still wrapped around its hanger. Now in the bathroom, she dries her son's hair and face. A clean-cut young man opens the front door and sets down his keys.
Hey, everybody! I'm home!
Daddy's home. Glasses.
She places them on Brandon's face.
Your PJ's on K?
Now her husband reads to the kids.
Barry laughed as he chased the bubbles. More of them scooped up his cars and his planes and his shoes. Bloop went his books, and bloop went his whirligigs. And then all of a sudden, a giant bubble blooped and swept up
Horsey,
and it carried him up and away.
Watching from the doorway, Stacy smiles. Now she tucks her daughter in.
Mom, are you nervous about tomorrow?
No, I'm not nervous. You know why? Because I'm well-prepared, and when we're well-prepared and we work hard, then we can be confident.
She kisses her forehead.
Mwah. Good night. I love you.
You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. This service is primarily intended for viewers who are blind or visually impaired. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. In the living room, Stacy packs cassette tapes, papers, and bundles of sharpened pencils into a tote bag. Her husband approaches.
All right, which hand?
Hmm?
Which hand?
He holds them behind his back.
Ooh, fun. Left. No, right.
Actually, it's so big it's in both.
He turns around.
What is this?
Stacy takes a wire tray from his hands.
Let's keep your papers in.
It's so teachery. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
They kiss.
My second grade teacher, Mrs. Linsky, had one of those, and she was the woman of my dreams.
Really?
Yeah, until I met you.
Stacy averts her eyes.
Hey.
She meets her husband's gaze.
You're gonna do great tomorrow.
Thank you.
Morning. As Stacy drives a beat-up hatchback down a highway, a title appears, Beyond the Blackboard. In the background, gray clouds loom over the snow-dusted peaks of a mountain range. Our view sweeps along the range to a cluster of skyscrapers and a multi-spired church. Emily Van Camp. As she drives, Stacy consults an address on a folded piece of paper. It reads, Downtown Rail Yard, West Side of Tracks. Steve Talley. Pulling through the rail yard's open chain-link gate, Stacy sees the flashing lights of police cruisers and two officers each cuffing a man. As she turns a corner, she glances back at the commotion with a concerned look. Timothy Busfield. Stacy drives past blanket-wrapped homeless people who warm their hands over fires and trash cans. Julio Oscar Machoso. Glancing around, Stacy drives beside a line of detached train cars which sit idly on a track. Nikki Icox, Kirsten Warren. Another group of homeless people, adults and children, huddles near flaming trash cans. And Treat Williams. Stacy glances at them as she drives past, her lips pinched with worry. Music by Jeff Beal. Her car bounces over a set of train tracks, then trundles into a lot facing a cluster of weathered industrial buildings. Production designer John Willett. As she parks, Stacy checks the address on her paper again. A scraggly, bearded man peers into her window.
Are you lost? Where are you trying to get to?
With a frightened look, Stacy drives away. Director of photography, Eric Van Haren-Noman, ASC. She pulls up beside a dark-haired woman.
Excuse me, I'm looking for 600 South Street.
Are you the new teacher?
Yes, you're in the right place.
I got the teacher!
Why is she driving away from me? Park it right there.
Edited by Jeffrey Rowland, ACE. Produced by Andrew Gottlieb. Executive producer Gerald R. Mullen. As Stacy climbs out of her car, Gretchen, the dark-haired woman, smokes a cigarette and peers through a window.
Hey, what's with the wire cage?
That's to put the kids' papers in.
Because it ain't big enough to hold my kid. And what's your name?
Stacy.
You look awful young, Stace. How old are you?
She looks like she's 16, 17.
I'm 24.
What are your credentials? We gotta know your credentials if you're gonna teach our kids.
Well, this is my first...
What'd you say, Stacy?
This is my first job.
Oh, well, at least she's honest. Honey, you ain't got nowheres to go but up. Joe, why don't you escort the lady to school?
This way.
I like your shoes.
Stacy follows the scraggly man.
Step aside, folks. Teacher coming through.
As Joe leads her through a crowd of homeless people, Tracy steps in a mud puddle. Executive producer Brent Shields. Based on the book, Nobody Don't Love Nobody by Stacy Bess. A young girl pulls her slender father out of the way as Stacy follows Joe into a building.
Thank you.
Let's set some ground.
Hey, Johnny.
Yeah. We got a teacher.
Written by Camille Thomason. Johnny addresses a couple.
Look, I don't like to judge a book by its cover.
Stacy gazes around a common area.
There's no tolerance for drug use. No drugs, no booze, no exceptions. You're high, you're out.
Stacy watches a guy change a baby's diaper.
I understood.
We're clean.
We're good.
The bald shelter manager turns to Stacy.
Hi, I'm Johnny.
Hi.
Joe, would you please find Miss Trumbull? Thank you.
My name is Stacy Bess. I'm supposed to report to a school. Are you in charge here?
I don't know if I call her in charge, but I'm here, and you're here, and you're in the right place.
I don't think...
Hold that thought. I'll find you this afternoon. I got a dozen families out there freezing that I need to process.
He hurries off.
May I use your phone?
Yeah, dial 9 to get out.
Glancing over her shoulder at some homeless children, Stacy heads into Johnny's office. With a panicked look, she grabs the phone and dials. Directed by Jeff Blechner.
Dr. Ross's office?
Yes, Dr. Ross, please.
What is this regarding?
It's regarding the fact that I've just reported to my first day of teaching, and this is not a school. This is more like a warehouse, and, it's an emergency.
Just a minute, I'll see if I can connect you.
An older woman peers in.
You're the new teacher?
She gapes at Stacy.
Dr. Ross...
Could we get started here?
I'll call you back, okay?
She hangs up, then faces Miss Trumbull. With a tight smile, the older woman leads Stacy back through the common area.
This way.
They head down a dilapidated hall.
This is your classroom.
She opens a door, revealing a dingy room scattered with tables and chairs.
Where are the children?
Recess.
Miss Trumbull searches her purse.
I've been begging for weeks to get somebody down here, and I...
She holds out a keychain.
The keys.
Stacy looks outside.
These will open the side door from the hall and the padlock outside. Keep them locked.
Stacy sees a boy smoking a cigarette.
Whoa.
Keys?
Turning from the window, she takes the keys.
Every morning you do a head count. Then you call that number for sack lunches. Wait an hour to do the count. They come in late. Any spare lunches you're to throw away. Food services does not want the families freeloading off the lunch program. There's no principal and there's no counselor, so discipline is entirely up to you.
What about Johnny?
What about him? He doesn't work for the school. It's his job to find rooms for those people, but there are not enough beds and there are not enough rooms, so half the kids slept in their cars last night. When they get out of control, try turning the lights off, show a movie.
She points.
Those are the shame names. Nobody likes to have their name on the board. If it gets really bad, you call the police.
As Miss Trumbull sets down a video cassette, Stacy eyes the keys. She walks over to the substitute.
What about books? What books are you using?
You count the kids, you get some lunch in their bellies, you keep them off the street. If you want books, there are some there.
A handful sits on two otherwise empty shelves.
No, I mean textbooks. What's your class plan? I made a class plan for sixth grade.
Are you not getting this because I am sensing hostility here, and I do not deserve hostility?
No, I'm not being hostile. I mean, I don't feel hostile.
Okay, I'm fine. Okay. I came in as a one-day substitute, and that turned into 2 weeks of living hell. There's no support from the so-called parents, and the kids behave like animals. I'm a teacher. But this is not teaching. This is babysitting kids on their way to juvie.
She pulls on her coat, shoulders her purse, and strides to the door. Pausing, she turns back to Stacy.
So, good luck.
She leaves. As Stacy turns from the door, her anxious brow creases. Her gaze drifts to the shame names on the chalkboard. Becca, Danny, Alex, and Robbie. She grabs an eraser and wipes the list away. Now she opens the classroom side door and steps outside. Between two buildings, some kids play tetherball, a girl jumps rope, and two students sit on a seesaw.
Okay, come to class, everybody.
The kids continue to play.
Ding, 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 ding. That's the sound of the magic bell. Let's go. Come on.
She eyes a boy in a cowboy hat.
Young man, put that cigarette out. No, yes, I'm talking to you. Put that out right now.
He tosses it.
Thank you. Okay, come on. Let's go. Let's go, ladies and gentlemen.
Where'd the witch go?
Witch took off. Clown came in.
The boy in the cowboy hat watches as Stacy ushers the students inside. Now she writes on the board.
My name is Ms. Bess, and I will be your new teacher.
A girl arrives.
Hi. What's your name?
Maria. I just got here.
Hi, Maria. I'm new here, too, so why don't you have a seat? This is the first day for both of us.
The boy
please.
In the cowboy hat sits perched on his chair's backrest.
Sit down in your chair.
With a bored look, he slides into his chair.
Thank you.
Stacy faces the class.
My name is Miss Bess, and I'm your new teacher.
You already said that.
Stacy's smile fades.
I brought along a little something so that you guys could get to know me. It's a photo album. This right here is my family. My husband, Greg, and that's my little girl, Nicole, my little boy, Brandon.
Is that your house?
This? Oh, no, this. This is the lodge that we stayed at on our winter vacation. We skied there, we went sledding, made some snowmen. Does anyone else here like to make snowmen?
The students exchange glances, then stare blankly at Stacy.
Who wants to share what they did on their holiday?
A hand raises.
Yes, please, share.
We got to see our dad.
You did? What's your name?
Becca.
Becca, what fun things did you do with your dad?
We got to eat with him in jail.
Did not.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did. They had tons of food.
And Santa was there.
Shut your mouth. There's no Santa in jail.
Santa Claus is way too busy to go to jail.
All right. Let's continue with the story. My story...
In a corner, a pair of pipes begin to sway.
My story began with my love of learning.
The pipes shake and books tremble on their shelves.
It's just a train. It doesn't happen that much, mostly at night.
Stacy stands as books topple to the floor and dirt falls from the ceiling. Peering out a window, she watches a train speed past. A rat emerges from a hole in the floor. The students scramble away, some climbing onto the ragtag tables. Stacy hurries over.
Okay, no, it's okay, calm down. Get back.
She grabs her wire tray.
It's a jumper.
She catches the rat in the corner of her tray, then pushes it along the floor.
Okay, come on.
As she shoves it outside, a round-faced boy returns to his seat beside a girl with unruly blonde hair.
Sit down.
A student with long dark hair turns to the boy in the cowboy hat.
She didn't scream or nothing.
Sweeping her hair out of her face, Stacy takes her seat at the front of the class. Her mouth hangs open in an appalled look. Later, Johnny enters the classroom. He gazes past the vacant chairs and tables, then finds Stacy sitting at the back of the room, her head bowed into her hand. He walks over and sits beside her.
Sorry we couldn't talk this morning. When it gets cold out there, we get busy. So how'd it go?
Well, I put a cinder block over a hole in the floor out of which a rat came running when the train came through.
Johnny smiles faintly.
That's just how the day started.
He shrugs his lips.
Good job.
Stacy closes her eyes.
How'd you do?
Opening them, she shakes her head.
Terrible. It was pathetic. There was a lady up there pretending to be a teacher. The kid saw right through me.
Okay, one thing that absolutely does not work here is wallowing in your own anxiety.
Stacy glances at him, then gives a defensive look.
I'm not wallowing.
It's not a criticism, just an observation.
Stacy stares at him for a moment, then turns away.
I'm leaving.
Johnny watches her stride to her desk.
And for the record, the kids are fascinated by you.
Fascinated? I'm sure.
You showed up, you tried all day. These kids, it means a lot.
Stacy shoulders her bags with a doubtful look. Johnny stands.
See you tomorrow.
She meets his eyes, and he gives her an encouraging nod. With her coat draped over her arm, Stacy watches him leave. Her gaze falls to a bracelet, which sits atop her desk. Letters written on its square beads read, "Be my friend." The corner of Stacy's mouth twitches in a wistful expression. Holding the bracelet, she collects her purse from the back of a chair. Nighttime, Stacy arrives at home.
I am home.
Mommy's here.
Mommy's gonna go wash up, okay?
She hurries upstairs.
Why has Mommy been crying?
Greg meets his daughter's troubled gaze. Now he jogs upstairs and stops in front of the bathroom door. He knocks. He opens the door.
Stacy?
Sitting on the edge of the tub, his wife wipes tears from her cheeks.
It's not what I expected.
She rests her chin on her hands.
I go back tomorrow. It's for one reason. I don't want our kids to see me quit.
She glances at Greg, then bites her lip. He gazes at her with worried eyes, and she turns away, her brow creasing.
If you leave your name and number and a brief message, I or my assistant will get back to you promptly.
At the shelter.
Dr. Ross, this is Stacy Best calling again. This is the third time that I'm calling. I haven't heard back from you or anybody else regarding desks or books. We have no desks or books. So if somebody could please...
Johnny appears.
Call me back.
She slams down the receiver. Johnny smiles as Stacy heads out of his office. Now a pipe in the rail yard trembles as a train barrels down a track. In the classroom, Stacy props her hands on her hips and waits as books tumble to the floor and grit sprinkles from the ceiling. The shaking subsides and Stacy faces her students.
Okay. So, what I want you to do is write your name at the top of the test and answer as many questions as you can. Excuse me, sir, class has already started.
Maria left her jacket.
He sets it on the back of Maria's chair.
Thanks, Father.
You do well now.
The slender father gives his daughter a nod, then heads off.
Thank you.
Three more students arrive.
Danny, Grace, Becca, can you please try to be on time? It's disruptive to the rest of the class when you're late. And please take off your hat. Danny, thank you. Okay. What we have here is a test. I want you to write your name at the top. Pass them back to Danny, please. And in the blank space, how old you are.
I need a pencil.
Okay, I'll get you a pencil.
She grabs a handful off her desk.
I need a pencil, too.
Okay, Maria, one moment. Just pass that back.
She distributes the pencils.
Here we go. There you are.
Thanks.
All right, listen up, everybody. I created this test to determine your grade level, so it's very important that you answer as many questions as you can, all right?
Maria nods.
All right, let's begin the test now.
As she consults her watch, Maria begins filling out her test. Sitting beside the blonde with unruly hair, the round-faced boy rests his head on his arm.
What's up, Sam?
My stomach hurts.
Didn't eat.
Stacy reaches out.
Sorry, sweetie, I can't understand.
The blonde flinches.
I'm sorry. Okay.
Sam's hungry.
Did you have breakfast?
The girl shakes her head.
Well, you know what? I actually happen to have a granola bar in my pocket. So why don't you guys share this and then we'll have an early lunch. Does that sound good?
A woman storms in.
Hey, come on. Come on, let's go.
Grace and Becca look over.
We're taking a test. Don't give me a tip. I said let's go. Come on.
Excuse me, we're taking a test right now. And they have chores to do. Chores?
The girls eye their mother.
Your children are taking a test. They're in school.
Who are you?
I'm the new teacher.
Oh.
Well, Barbie, I'm the mother. Come on, I said let's go. Up, now, get your coats.
She eyes her kids as they don their coats and head out.
We're supposed to do something. Okay, you know what, everybody? Continue your test. I'll be right back, all right?
She hurries into the common area.
Excuse me?
She finds the surly mother.
Step. My girls have got responsibilities.
And it's your responsibility as their mother to keep them in school.
And you better stay out of my face. Come on, girls. We're out of here.
As she ushers Grace away, her younger daughter gives Stacy an apologetic look.
Come on, wait.
Her mother grabs her and they head off. Stacy watches them sadly. As she walks back to her classroom, a no-nonsense woman intercepts.
What can you do?
Stacy shoots her a quizzical look.
I'm Patricia, shelter nurse.
I'm Stacy, the new teacher.
Yeah, I got that. Tomorrow I'll bring you a gamma shot. Everybody working here gets one, what with all the nasty things going around? Flu, hepatitis, tuberculosis, impolitis. When people don't know how to be polite. So when's a good time for me to see your kids? We have a big epidemic in all the trailers. Head lice.
Well, we're taking a test right now, so why don't I let you know when we're done?
Sure thing.
Meanwhile...
Okay. Give me my test back!
As Danny and two others play keep away with Maria's crumpled test, Stacy enters.
Give me my test back!
Hey, what is going on in here? You're supposed to be taking a test.
I finished the test.
He stole my test!
Why would you steal her test? Look what you did to her test! Okay, everybody sit down.
Why?
Because I said so. Sit down.
Where do I want to sit?
Danny sits on his friend's lap.
Danny, I'm warning you. Get to your seat right now.
I have my seat right here. Want to see it?
Standing, he bobs his rear end.
Okay, you know what? I am working very hard here, and it's bad enough without having to deal with your nonsense. Now sit your butt down and get to work, too. Go. Alex, go. Come on. Everybody, to your seats.
Danny and his friend retreat to a table.
All right, you have 3 minutes to finish your test, and then we're doing our lice check.
Struggling to remain composed, she turns away. Now at home, she inspects Nicole's scalp.
It stinks.
I know, sweetie. I'm sorry.
Why do we have to do this?
Because the nurse found lice in Mommy's hair at school. Actually, it was a louse. One louse, two lice. Kind of like
One mouse, two mice.
Why isn't it one house, two heists?
Huh, heist.
We have lice in the heist.
Nicole looks at the floor.
Lice in the heist!
Pretending to be scared, Nicole and Brandon huddle together. Stacy picks them both up and spins them later.
The kids are tucked in. I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
Video store. I need some movies.
Now?
Here's the thing, you can never judge. Never, ever judge. You know, I thought that substitute teacher was horrible. And shame on me. Tomorrow, I'm gonna prop those kids in front of the TV.
You don't even let our kids do that.
I'm not saying that I'm happy about it, but I have to subdue these kids until I come up with a plan. I mean, look at my basket. The tests are all over the place. I don't even know where to start.
She grabs her purse.
I may have been trained to teach 1 through 6, but I was not trained to teach every grade at the same time without desks, without books. I mean, it's chaos. Those kids may have been terrible today, but I was worse. I was a raving, crazy person.
She dons her coat.
6 years of school did not prepare me for this.
What about 8 years of motherhood? You got plenty of experience. You got 2 great kids upstairs.
Maybe I should just stay home with them until I get a normal job in a normal school.
You gonna quit?
She gives Greg a firm look.
You're going to bend over that sink when I get back, and I'm going to de-louse you.
How'd I get so lucky?
He grins. As she steps out the door, Stacy smiles back. Morning. A collection of videos clutter Stacy's dashboard as she pulls into the rail yard. Parking, she looks out her window and sees Gretchen standing outside the shelter holding a paper cup of coffee and smoking a cigarette. The dark-haired woman averts her gaze. As Stacy unbuckles her seatbelt and gathers her belongings, Gretchen shoots her another glance. The teacher turns off her car and climbs out. Stepping through puddles, she fishes her keys from a bag as she heads to the shelter. One of her movies slips from a pile in her arm, and she catches it. Gretchen eyes her as she approaches.
So my kid says that you gave him what for in class yesterday?
Danny's your son?
Yeah, that's right.
Nodding, Gretchen stares at the ground.
I am truly sorry that I yelled at him. I know it was wrong, and I apologize.
You know what? I know that my boy is smart, and I know that he can learn really good. And I just think that he needs a teacher that will keep him in line. So you just keep on writing him.
She briefly holds Stacy's gaze, then gives a faint smile.
That's okay.
As she heads off, Stacy watches her with thoughtful eyes. She searches her cluster of keys, then uses one to unlock a padlocked door. Inside her classroom, she wheels the television on a cart to the center of the room. The nurse opens the door.
Stacy.
Hi, Patricia.
I brought a gamma shot for you.
Okay, I'll be right there.
In Patricia's office.
Any chance you could be pregnant?
Stacy shrugs her lips.
No. Just to make sure.
She hands Stacy a container for a urine sample. Now the couple from Stacy's first day exits the classroom. The young bearded man carries a large object hidden under a blanket. He glances around the common area, then hurries outside. Behind him, the woman bears another bundle. As she struggles to open a door, Stacy helps her. Stacy spots Becca and Grace's mom on a couch and shakes her head. She turns away.
Morning, Danny. You're here early?
My mom says I have to talk to you. I'm sorry I acted up yesterday.
Well, I wanted to apologize to you, too. I'm sorry for losing my temper.
So, we're good?
Good.
As they head into the classroom, Stacy finds her video stacked on the otherwise empty TV cart.
Where's the TV?
Danny watches as she glances around the room with outraged eyes.
Someone took the TV!
She hurries into the common area where shelter residents watch television.
Okay, in the past 3 minutes, somebody went into the classroom and took the TV and the VCR. Who was it?
Becca and Grace's mom stares, and a man with a bushy beard shrugs.
Oh, come on. Whoever it was walked right past here. Who took it?
The residents turn away from the angry teacher.
Okay, well, if you're not going to tell me, then I'm just going to have to take this.
I'm watching my favorite program.
Well, I'm sorry.
Stacy unplugs the common area's TV and tries to lift it.
Whoa, that's heavy. Don't hurt yourself now.
Nuts.
Come on, Miss Stacy. Just let it go.
Abandoning the television on its table, Stacy strides out of the common area. She hurries outside and sweeps her frustrated gaze around the rail yard, her shoulders heaving. As Danny joins her, she turns to him. With her hands on her hips, she gives him a pleading look.
Danny, do you know who took it?
You opened the door for him.
I opened the door for who? We gotta find Johnny and tell him what happened.
I'm not telling Johnny. I'm not telling you. Not unless you promise not to go after anyone. It's not the way we do things here. You gotta calm down.
Okay, I'm calm. Listen, I promise, you have my word. I won't tell anybody. Just tell me who took it.
Jack and Terry.
Jack and Terry. Who's Jack and Terry?
You don't know them, and they don't know you. And they won't be coming back.
Well, where did they go?
TV's gone, and they're gone. You can bet that they've already traded it for crack down the street. It's just the way it is. They don't care about our school. We're not their kids, and they don't care about us.
Yeah.
She meets Danny's gaze.
But we care.
She jerks her head toward the building.
Let's go inside. It's cold.
She places a kind hand on Danny's back as he trudges inside. Glancing around, Stacy follows him, then pulls the door closed behind her.
Stacy? I'll be right there. Will you go tell everyone to sit down and wait for me?
You're not gonna tell?
I gave you my word. Now will you give me yours? That you'll go in there and you'll be a good example to the other kids?
Yeah.
Danny heads toward the classroom.
You be the leader.
He glances back over his shoulder at her as he continues away. Stacy watches him with a smile, then steps into the doorway of Patricia's office.
Okay, can we do this quickly?
No gamma shot for you, Mama. You're pregnant.
Stacy's eyes widen and her lips part in a shocked expression. Nighttime. At home, she sits on the stairs and gazes off with worried eyes. Greg rubs a hand on her back as he joins her. He sits beside her on the step and takes her hand. She gives him an overwhelmed look and he crooks a comforting smile in return. She rests her head on his shoulder. Stacy smiles. They both shake their heads. Grinning, Stacy rubs her brow, then rests her chin on her hand. Shaking his head again, Greg grins as well. With his fingers still intertwined with hers, he lifts her hand and kisses it. Now Stacy sits in a waiting area at the school district administration building. Dr. Ross arrives.
Ms. Bass.
Dr. Ross.
In his office.
The baby's due in September, so I'll work until June and finish out the semester, which I promised you I would.
Good.
Good.
She hands him a paper.
What's this?
This is a list of things that I need so I can do my job. The first items are basics, books, lights, desks, and then there are secondary items that I want the kids to have. Art supplies, science equipment, maps, things like that.
Ms. Bass, I'm the personnel director. It's my job to hire teachers. Textbooks? Dr. Louie.
Well, Dr. Louie wants authorization from a principal. I don't have a principal.
That's technically true.
Desks and lights require a custodian's report. Who's my custodian? I mean, do I have one, technically?
I'll bring this to the attention of the administration. Thank you, Ms. Bass.
When will you bring it to their attention?
At our next meeting.
Okay, well, until your next meeting, what do you say we poke around the closets here and see what we can use?
You don't have the faintest idea of protocol.
Protocol? No, sir, I don't, and I don't have the faintest clue what's going on here, so you might have to catch me up, because I don't understand why I'm not teaching these kids in a regular school.
The program was created because the organization that runs the shelter and our school district have this problem. Without transfer papers and immunization records, we can't enroll these homeless students. Your class is a stopgap measure.
Have you been there?
Have I?
Have you been to the school?
Dr. Ross stares at Stacy, his lips parted. She holds his gaze.
No. My responsibility is to fill every teaching position in this district, not...
You're busy.
She stands.
So would you please find me a supervisor?
Yes, I will do that. And I will pass along to him your suggestions. Thank you. In the meantime, keep in mind that you're providing emergency schooling to transient students. They will not be there that long. And in truth, Ms. Bass, neither will you.
Stacy shoots him a disappointed look, then strides out of the office. Fade to black.
Beyond the Blackboard will resume on the Hallmark Hall of Fame after these Hallmark messages, including a classic commercial from 29 years ago.
Miss Elliot, has he finished his tea yet?
He should be just about done.
Thanks.
Good afternoon, Lisa.
Good afternoon, Professor.
Are we prepared?
I think so.
Let's see what Mr. Beethoven thinks.
So I'm giving you this hallmark, and I hope that you will see what I'm really giving you is a part of me.
Thank you, Lisa.
Make someone's birthday special. Give a little of yourself. Give a Hallmark card.
Bye, Mama. I love you.
Bye-bye. You be careful on your way home.
Happy Mother's Day.
Okay, bye-bye.
Mother's Day, she'll remember for years to come.
We now return to the Hallmark Hall of Fame, presented by Hallmark Cards of Kansas City and the fine stores that feature Hallmark products.
Nighttime. Greg rests a hand on Stacy's arm as they spoon in bed.
You know, the school doesn't even have a name.
She gazes off with sad eyes.
I had all these big ideas about teaching. You know, my classroom was going to be this amazing place where kids felt safe and knew they belonged.
She rolls onto her back and stares at the ceiling.
I've learned some not good things about myself. Poverty disgusts me. I'm afraid of it.
She glances at Greg.
I'm not doing my best for those kids.
Her chest heaves. As she eyes her husband again, she notices his grin.
Why are you smiling?
I've been waiting for you to get riled up.
You think this is riled up?
Greg gives his wife a serious look.
Before this baby's born, you got one season to play.
Stacy shifts her anxious eyes.
Think you're gonna kick some butt?
The corners of Greg's mouth lift. He reaches to his bedside table and turns off a lamp. With her bedside light still on, Stacy stares at the ceiling for a moment, then turns onto her side and gazes off thoughtfully. Daytime. Wearing a sweatshirt, jeans, and a bandana over her hair, Stacy unlocks her classroom. She grimaces with effort as she pulls open the room's double doors. Behind her, the raised rear hatch of her car reveals a trunk filled with painting and cleaning supplies. Reaching inside, Stacy pulls out two buckets of paint and sets them just inside the classroom. She sets a milk crate of paint trays and rollers next to the buckets, then carries in containers of cleaning supplies, a wide push broom, and a mop bucket. Later, she organizes the classroom's furniture, folding down flaps on desks and lifting chairs onto tables. Now sheets cover the furniture like drop cloths as Stacy stands on a desk and rolls paint onto a wall beside a floor-to-ceiling window. Grabbing a rag, she tries to wipe spilled paint off a window pane. Joe appears on the other side. He waves.
You're streaking it.
What?
Newspaper. You need newspaper. You really need to finish painting before you do the windows. I'll help.
With a nod, he heads to the door. Later, he perches on a ladder and paints, while Stacy stands on her desk and brushes a pale gray-green color onto the wall. With a curious look, Maria approaches the partially open door. She steps inside and smiles at her teacher.
It's good you're fixing things up, Miss Stacy.
Because I don't want to hurt your feelings, but this is the sorriest school I've ever seen.
Stacy and Joe grin.
Can I clean the blackboard? It's filthy, right?
You think there's hope for that blackboard?
There better be, because that's the only one we have to write on.
Go right ahead.
With an eager grin, Maria heads to the board. Joe turns to Stacy and they exchange a pleased look. Now as Maria wipes the blackboard with a wet cloth, Stacy dunks a mop into its bucket, then lowers it into the wringer and squeezes out its excess water. She mops the floor, revealing a checkerboard of dark and light gray tiles under a film of dust. Later, the three workers sit at Stacy's desk and eat lunch. An easel behind Stacy displays the shaky outline of a four-legged creature.
Do you have any kids here, Joe? Why are you laughing?
Miss Stacy, I have a grandchild here. Yes, ma'am, I have a grandson. Spit an image.
Stacy furrows her brow at Maria, who shrugs. She frowns at Joe.
He's the handsome one.
I'll have to think about that one.
Joe eyes the easel.
Is that a dog?
Stacy follows his gaze to her drawing.
That's a cow.
Joe gives an unconvinced look.
Hold on.
He rises. As he heads to the door, he turns to Stacy.
Hold on a minute.
Stacy fakes an offended expression.
What's wrong with my cow?
Maria stifles a grin.
When did you know you wanted to be a teacher? Because I'm going to be a teacher. Meowella, that's my grandmother. She said I could make my letters when I was just a baby. And you know what? I made A pluses in handwriting.
You did?
Maria nods proudly.
Where is your abuela?
El Paso. I lived there most of my life until Bobby decided we should go to Idaho. But you know what? It's cold in Idaho.
Nelson, Miss Stacy needs somebody who can draw a cow.
Nelson eyes the easel.
Well, that's a dog.
Well, that's what I told her.
I just wanted to put some art to lighten things up in here and put them up on the walls, but I'm not much of an artist. Yeah, cow, but I don't want to take up any of your time.
Nelson removes his jacket.
What do you want? Holstein? Jersey? Brahma? Longhorn?
Black and white cow?
You want a sad cow? Happy cow? Thoughtful cow?
A happy cow.
Happy black and white cow.
He flips to a fresh page on the easel. Stacy sits on her desk and watches as Nelson draws with a thick marker. He skillfully sketches the rear of the cow, then outlines its ears and face. Stacy and Joe peer around him at the drawing, and Maria rests her cheek on her hands as she observes. Nelson adds an eye to his convincing sketch, and Joe leans over Stacy's shoulder.
What'd I tell you?
Stacy shakes her head.
Wow, that's amazing. You think you could draw a rooster after this?
Nelson turns to her.
What, you want a proud rooster? Fighting rooster? Or a little skinny rooster scratching in the dirt?
Stacy shares a smile with Maria.
How about a colorful rooster?
Nelson grins, then resumes drawing. Nighttime, Stacy arrives home.
Hello?
Hey.
Hey.
She finds Greg in the kitchen.
Can I borrow your truck tomorrow?
Why, what's up?
I need to pick up some supplies.
Didn't you already buy supplies?
Yes, but that was for painting and cleaning. This is for my kids.
And you need the truck? Aren't you going to be spending more than you make?
No, I promise. I'm done after this. Promise.
You sure you want to make that promise?
Yes, I am.
He holds his keys out of her reach.
Come to me.
She kisses him. She takes them.
Glad you're home.
He watches her hurry off. Daytime. In her classroom, Stacy sets a plant on a table, then heads back outside. Gretchen and two other women walk over.
You getting overtime?
Am I what?
Is somebody paying you overtime for coming here on a weekend?
Stacy smiles.
Did the school pay for those?
No.
I told you, Dee, she's just doing this for our kids. Come on.
Hey. Two of them help lift a broad, flat box.
Ready? One, two.
Here, I got it.
As Dee carries a globe in from the truck, she gives it an appreciative smile. Now an alarm clock reads 5:25. Stacy hits the off button, then retracts her arm and snuggles back against her pillow. With tired eyes, she rolls onto her back and grimaces. Now in Brandon's room, she flips on a bedside lamp. Light bathes her son's sleeping face.
Come on, Adam. Rise and shine.
She kisses his head.
Good to get up.
Brandon squints his sleepy eyes. Stacy sets his glasses on his face. She smiles down at him, and he adjusts his glasses. Later, Stacy sits behind Nicole and weaves her hair into a braid. She wraps an elastic around its end. Now, with her bags slung over her shoulders, she hurries into the kitchen where her kids sit at a counter eating eggs with bacon and toast.
Okay. Did you pack your homework?
Yes. Can you please drink your milk?
She kisses him.
Yeah.
She kisses Nicole's head.
I love you.
I love you.
She hurries past Greg.
Go get him.
At the rail yard, Stacy rings the bell.
Did you wake up, everybody? Let's go. It's just half an hour.
Lying on a mattress in a trailer, Maria's father stirs, then goes back to sleep. He uses a jacket as a blanket. His daughter peers out a window at Stacy and grins. Outside, Stacy knocks on a car's windshield.
Come on, we're not starting without you. Wake up. Let's go.
Inside the vehicle, a hand shakes a sleeping boy. Danny steps out of a trailer, still wrapped in a blanket.
Let's go. Good morning, Danny. Come on, you've got 30 minutes.
Joe joins him. Now in the common area, Stacy flips off the TV.
Come on, everybody!
Excuse me, I have an announcement to make.
I'm watching that.
This school may be in a shelter, but it is still a public school, so from now on there will be no interruptions once class is in session. And please see to it that your kids are in class on time. Thanks.
With an annoyed look, Becca and Grace's mom watches Stacy leave. Beside her on the couch, Gretchen gives an impressed smile.
Maria, can you please write the date on the board?
Okay.
Stacy opens the door.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to your new classroom.
Whoa. What happened?
Pretty cool, huh?
On one side of the chalkboard, words above a painting of a cow read, outstanding in his field. On the other side, something to crow about sits above a rooster.
What do you think?
Awesome.
This is to post all of the good work that you do. But first things first, I have fruit cups and milk, so if anybody's hungry, raise your hand.
Every child's hand shoots into the air. Stacy stifles an overwhelmed look.
Okay, Danny, will you pass out the fruit cups? Maria, can you please pass the spoons? Thank you.
As Danny and Maria distribute the items, Stacy sits on her desk.
So, we're gonna do things a little bit differently this week. We're gonna start by talking about anything that is important to you. But only one person speaking at a time, and everybody in the circle has to be polite. Everybody agree with those rules? Raise your hand.
All of the students raise their hands.
Okay, good. So, I'd like to start by talking about last week. Last week, I lost my temper quite a bit, and it wasn't respectful. Maybe we should talk about that, what it means to be respectful.
A hand goes up.
Yes, Angel.
Like, you don't get in somebody's face, blah, 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 like that, like you're messing with somebody.
That's right, that's not respectful. Sam?
I don't think it's good to yell.
You're right, yelling is not good. I'm very sorry for yelling.
I think it's right to do something over and over, like messing with somebody. You're not listening. That's not showing respect.
You're right. See, we have to be respectful of our fellow classmates because we want to have a safe, quiet, calm learning environment, right?
Stacy sets a clipboard on her lap.
So, that is our first word. It's a descriptive word, an adjective.
Using a thick marker, she writes on a strip of paper, then holds it up to show the class.
Respectful.
She gives a warm smile.
Grace, do you want to pin it on the board?
Grace rises and takes the strip of paper.
Thank you.
She pins the word in the painted grass below the cow.
Anyone else have anything they want to share?
Last night, we went to this store, and my mom was doing nothing. Cops were messing with her, like, get out of here, like she's a piece of trash.
So you felt like the policemen weren't being respectful to your mom?
Averting his eyes, Danny nods.
How do you feel when you're around policemen?
Scared.
Stacy frowns at Grace.
I know a nice policeman.
Dana.
The blonde girl's unruly hair covers part of her face.
My mother locked us in the basement. It was dark, and a policeman found us, and he carried us up because we couldn't walk, because we didn't have anything to eat, and...
She rumples her lips.
That's why we don't see our mother anymore.
Stacy swallows hard, her compassionate eyes fixed on Dana.
That must have been really scary.
She held my hand.
With innocent eyes, Sam gazes at his teacher, who sucks in a deep breath. She lifts the clipboard onto her lap again and writes out another word. Her students watch curiously. Stacy shows the class the strip of paper.
Brave.
Now a montage shows students adding new words to the cow poster. Sam puts up acceptable, and Becca pins on anxious. Angel attaches beautiful, and Dana adds caring. A collection of words clutter the entire poster until the cow is hidden underneath. On the rooster painting, paper leaves with words on them decorate a tree. Becca and Grace gaze at its swelling canopy, and Angel smiles. Now the students stand by a poster which lists names of great classical composers, including Bach, Beethoven, Handel, Mozart, and Stravinsky. Stacy inserts a cassette into a boombox and hits play. The boy with long dark hair moves a paper cutout of a pointing hand to Beethoven. Later.
Who would like to see some magic?
Nelson paints a circle.
Yellow.
He paints a different one next to it.
And blue.
He combines the paint from both.
Become
green. Now the kids hold a dab of paint in each hand.
Yellow and red become.
They rub them together. Dana flinches as Stacy's hand nears her face. The teacher brushes her hair out of her eyes, then secures it with a headband.
There we go. This is yours to keep. Look.
They turn to a mirror.
Look how pretty you are.
Dana grins.
There we go.
Stacy leans her cheek against the girl's head. They smile into the mirror. Now as Stacy writes on the blackboard, her kids sit at tables and write diligently. Alex finishes coloring a picture and rises. Danny watches his friend approach their teacher.
Miss Stacy?
Yep, I made this for you.
He hands her the drawing.
Wow, Alex, this is exquisite.
Thanks.
It shows two people in the rail yard.
That's really beautiful. I'm going to put it on the board.
Danny's face falls.
Thank you.
With a heartbroken look, he watches Alex return to the seat beside him. He shoves him. Standing, the two boys start to fight.
Hey, why'd you push me? Quit!
You quit!
Hey, stop it! Everybody back to work. Boys, come up here.
Under Stacy's troubled gaze, the boys avert their eyes and trudge over to her.
What's going on?
He pushed me for no reason.
Danny, why would you push Alex?
I don't know.
Well, I'm really confused as to why you'd do that.
You're confused?
Stacy lifts her brow.
I'm confused. I'm also a little anxious and perplexed.
He reads words off the board. Stacy stifles a smile.
Go sit down.
The boys head back to their table.
And apologize to each other.
Sorry.
Now on the list of composers, Stacy pins the paper hand so that its finger points to Prokofiev. She plays a cassette.
How come you want us to learn that?
Because if you know it, then it's yours.
Maria smiles. Later, the long-haired boy stands in a circle of sitting kids.
This was an attack cat. Attack dog. This was an attack cat. For real. And I'm like running and running as fast as I can from this kitten. And it's like barking at me like, meow, meow, meow. And I'm yelling at everybody, run!
Stacy writes outrageous on a strip of paper and shows the class.
Run, it's the faster, run!
She laughs. Now her beat-up car trundles into the rail yard. Maria waits outside the shelter as Stacy parks in front of it. She races over to the car and Stacy hands her a bell.
There you go.
Now?
Yes, ma'am.
Grinning, Maria dashes off, shaking the bell as she runs through the rail yard.
Louder!
Stacy watches her students through the driver's side window as she rolls it up. She climbs out of her car and heads to its trunk.
Hi, boys.
She hands Danny a bag and Alex her key ring.
Fill up the cupboard, Corporal. Got the keys?
The boys pass Johnny as they head inside.
Morning, Johnny.
Heads up, six more children came in last night.
As he rushes away, Stacy stares after him with disbelieving eyes. Now the young teacher strides down a hall in the school district administration building. She enters the reception area for Dr. Ross's office and finds a custodian vacuuming the rug. Behind Dr. Ross's closed door, his office sits in darkness. Shifting her gaze, Stacy peers down a corridor and sees a gray-haired man still in his office. She hurries to his door. She steps inside.
Hi.
Yes?
My name is Stacy Bess, and I'm here to report a situation that is unacceptable.
Are you a teacher?
Yes, I'm trying to be. At the school that has no name? At the shelter?
The shelter? That's a new program.
Yes, have you been there?
No.
Well, no one has.
She throws up her hands, her chest heaving.
Would you like a cup of tea? I have this new electric teapot, which I've almost mastered. Is chamomile okay?
Stacy gives the man a desperate look. His smile fades.
Why don't you sit down?
He eyes her kindly.
Please.
Later.
This is from Danny. He's with his mom and his grandpa. Well, they're great people. Miserable luck. Goodbye.
put all their hopes in the boy.
She shows the teddy bear.
Dana gave me this. Dana's 8 years old. I give her a 50-cent headband, and she gives me her bear.
The gray-haired superintendent smiles.
Her mom's in prison.
Stacy gazes at the bear.
She would lock the kids in the basement when she had her boyfriend over. Kids are with the dad now.
She shows a packet of saltines.
Oh, Maria. Maria wants to be a teacher when she grows up. She saw me nibbling on saltines when I had some morning sickness, so she saved these from the soup kitchen for me.
The superintendent, Dr. Warren, blinks his thoughtful eyes.
Well, it's obvious you had a profound effect upon the lives of three young people.
Three? I have 20 now.
The man's brow creases.
I didn't realize there were so many children at the shelter.
How can anyone here not know that? Every day I call in with a head count for lunch.
That goes to food services. That's a
different separate department. I know. I'm sorry.
She leans forward in her chair.
Listen, I didn't come here to give you the kids' sob stories. I came here to talk to you about their generosity. I mean, these kids who have nothing bring me gifts. Don't you think we can do better for them?
She holds Dr. Warren's gaze.
I'll see what I can do.
He gives her an earnest look, and she shifts her resigned eyes. Cut to black. Morning. In the classroom, Maria writes on the chalkboard, "Tomorrow is Valentine's Day." She dots her exclamation point with a heart. Later, Stacy reads to the younger students.
They bounced off the ceiling and bumped into the walls. Then a bubble picked up Harry's train and
loop!
Floated it right out the window.
The older kids sit with Nelson at a table littered with pink and red paper. Making cards, they cut out shapes and draw with markers.
Books and loop went whirly gigs. And then all of a sudden, a giant bubble looped and swept up.
Later.
Daddy! Daddy!
Dana and Sam find their father outside.
Happy Valentine's Day, Daddy.
They each hand him a card and he reads them.
I love you guys too. Come here. Give me a big hug.
He picks them both up. Meanwhile,
I want you to have this.
The boy with long dark hair hands Dee a card. Opening it, she reads, "I love you very much. Love, Robert." She embraces her son.
Thank you. It's beautiful.
She closes her eyes. They separate and she lowers her gaze to the card again. Now Maria holds a pink handmade card as she walks up the stairs to her father's room and peers inside. Her gaze sweeps past a clutter of empty beer bottles on the floor to her dad, who sleeps soundly on a cot. With a disappointed look, she creeps to his side.
Papi.
She nudges his arm with her fingers.
Papi.
Her father remains in his deep slumber. Gazing at him, Maria presses her lips into a discouraged line. She lifts her father's arm, which rests on his chest, and places her card underneath. She heads away. Nighttime. In Stacy's classroom, paper hearts and other Valentine's Day decorations hang across the ceiling like clothes on a line. Stacy collects her scarf from a coat rack and drapes it around her neck. She pulls on her coat, which barely closes over her pregnant belly. As she moves to gather her bags from a table, she reaches into a pocket and finds a handful of cards. One displays a small photo of Maria and reads, "I love you," inside a drawing of a heart. Another has photos of Dana and Sam on it, and a third shows a picture of Becca. She gives a gap-toothed grin beneath a drawing of a heart. With a tender smile, Stacy shakes her head and grabs her bags off the table. As she walks to the door, she pauses and glances back into the classroom. She flips off the lights. Morning. Stacy's car trundles into the rail yard. Maria, Dana, Danny, Alex, Grace, and Robert race up to the vehicle. As the children jog beside her car, Stacy peers out her window at them.
What is going on?
She parks. Dana and Grace grab one of her hands, and Maria takes the other. They pull Stacy to the classroom. Inside, Stacy finds rows of brand new individual desks with chairs and stacks of books on her desk.
My name is Peter. Grace,
Stacy.
We have desks.
It's cool. We have a real classroom.
Pressing her palms together, Stacy touches them to her lips.
Oh my goodness.
As she weaves through the desks, Dr. Warren watches from the back of the classroom. Stacy lifts a science textbook off a pile and shows her students.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have books. Yay! We have books!
Yes! Yeah. Finally take out books.
Yeah. Help me.
As Maria, Danny, Dana, and Alex hand out books, Stacy lifts her gaze to Dr. Warren, who folds his arms and smiles. She walks over and hugs him.
Thank you.
No, no, thank you. We all should have been here a lot sooner. You know, it's not technically my job description, but from now on, you can consider me your principal and your custodian, okay? Whatever you need.
He pats her back and she gives a broad grin. They watch as her students hand out the new textbooks. Now in the common area, Stacy finds Nelson sleeping on a couch. His oxygen tank sits at his side and his glasses rest on his chest.
Mr. Parker.
What's wrong?
Nothing's wrong. Sorry to wake you. I'm just so excited. I just talked to Dr. Warren, and he's approved a teacher's aide salary. So I was hoping you'd come work with us every day.
Oh, I volunteer for those children. I wasn't going anywhere.
Well, you're the best art teacher I've ever had.
I'm the only art teacher you've ever had.
Grace and Dana sprint over.
Miss Stacy, Maria's in trouble. Her dad got mean drunk and cussed Johnny. He got kicked out.
What?
Racing outside to a trailer, Stacy climbs the steps to Maria and her father's room.
Maria?
Inside, Maria packs. She flies into Stacy's arms, her face crumbling. Stacy presses her lips to the girl's head. She holds Maria tightly.
It's okay.
She strokes Maria's hair, then kisses her head again. Later, she hurries out of the trailer.
Johnny?
She walks with him.
Johnny, you can't kick Maria's father out.
I already have.
If he goes, Maria goes.
No drinking, no drugs. Those are the rules. But established parameters encourage responsibility. That's my job. Let one person live outside those rules and within a week we're skid row.
Johnny, I'm asking you to make an exception. It's for Johnny.
He turns to her.
In a week we're skid row.
Now Maria's father talks with some men.
Can you believe that they won't give me another chance?
I mean, and they kick me out like I'm a dog, like I'm not a man, huh?
Mr. Elazar?
Stacy strides up to him.
May I talk to you? I'm Stacy, Maria's teacher.
Yeah, I know who you are.
He glares at her.
Where are you and Maria gonna go?
She gives him a firm look.
The streets are no place for your daughter.
Are you trying to tell me what to do now?
No, I'm trying to help you in any way that I can. Do you have a plan?
Mr. Elazar climbs into the cab of a truck.
I don't know what to do.
Pulling the door shut, he stares with despondent eyes. Stacy stands outside by the passenger window.
What if she stays with me?
Mr. Elazar tilts his head.
What if...
Climbing into the truck, Stacy sits beside him.
And she stays with me until you find a safe place to live.
Why would you do that?
Because you need help. And Maria needs help. Your daughter is 12 years old. You know better than I what could happen to her on the street.
Mr. Elazar's eyes fill with tears. He swallows, then turns to Stacy.
You keep her safe?
Nodding, she smiles.
We're like headed together?
Yes.
Looking away, Maria's father bites his lip. His face crumbles.
I love my girl.
Of course you do.
Stacy tears up. Mr. Elazar shakes his head. He meets Stacy's gaze.
Keep her safe, right? No strangers. Just until I can get it together. Once I get a place, she's with me.
Absolutely, that's the deal.
Tears slide down Mr. Elazar's cheeks. You are listening to video description on the SAP channel. To return to regular program audio, turn off the SAP feature on your TV or VCR. Stacy writes on a scrap of paper.
This is my home phone number.
She hands it to Maria's father.
You can call anytime.
Holding his gaze, she twitches a kind smile. He glances at the number and nods. His chest heaves.
Okay.
Facing forward, Stacy shifts her worried eyes. Later, she makes a call.
Hi, honey. It's me. Just wanted to check in with you. Because I'm not just bringing home a gallon of milk tonight. I'm bringing home a kid. Okay.
She hangs up. Nighttime. Sitting beside Nicole, Maria eats dinner with the best family.
You okay, Coley?
Nicole eyes Maria.
You like playing baseball? I never played it.
Maria, do you want some more spaghetti?
No. You could have more. I had a lot. I ate tons. Plus, don't eat so much that noodles come out of your nose. That happened to me once.
That never happened.
Yes, it did.
I did, actually.
Disgusting! I know.
Later, Nicole hands Maria a baseball glove.
This is my dad's mitt. You can try this on if you want. They don't have softball in the third grade, so I play Little League. I have the best batting average in the whole third grade. I'm not bragging or anything, it's just true.
She's good.
Maria, there's an extra blanket for you here, okay? And you two, I want to see your homework in a half an hour.
That's what's like living with a teacher.
In the kitchen.
Kids are great about this.
Yeah, I expect no less.
Stacy clears the dinner table.
Do you really have any reason to think the father's gonna come back?
Of course he's coming back.
When? You're getting pretty deeply involved here.
Well, Maria can't stay at the shelter without a guardian, so...
Well, yeah, but aren't we obligated to call protective services?
And try what? Legally separate them because they're homeless?
Well, if the father can't take care of her, then yeah, somebody else should.
Stacy shakes her head.
What? Every day I wait for someone to sweep on in and solve the problems out there, but there's no Superman coming, Greg. I mean, Tag, we're it, right? This happened in my classroom, and I had to do something about it.
She folds her arms across her chest.
I'm glad you're there.
He rubs her shoulder. Daytime. The kids play outside.
Okay, 20 minutes. I want you sitting in the reading circle.
Stacy finds Patricia waiting in the classroom.
Hi.
She sits kitty corner to her.
Any word from Maria's father?
Yeah, but it's a lot of the same, you know?
Patricia takes her blood pressure.
Why can't these parents just get it together?
Believe it or not, most of them are doing better than their own parents did.
Oh, why do they get to use the terrible childhood excuse? My childhood wasn't great, it was yours.
When I first started work here, I was frustrated all the time. I said to myself, I am from a poor country. What's wrong with these people? I pulled myself up. But you know something? My judgment didn't help me. And it didn't change a thing.
She reads the blood pressure gauge.
Your blood pressure's high. Why don't you ask them for help?
Who?
The parents.
Yeah. We'll hold a PTA meeting.
Why not? The parents see me coming. They hide. They run away. They know I'll say, put out that cigarette. You have diabetes. Why are you drinking cola?
Stacy lifts her brow.
I'm asking something from them that's harder to give than money. I am asking them to change their habits.
She gazes at Stacy, who blinks her thoughtful eyes. Now a group of parents gathers on a porch outside an empty rail yard warehouse.
Hi, everybody.
Stacy joins them.
Well, have a seat.
Becca and Grace's surly mom sits beside Gretchen.
Is everybody here?
Well, if we weren't here, we wouldn't be here to tell you.
Oh, yay, Candy's here.
Are our kids okay, Stacy?
Your kids are wonderful. Really, I mean, they're doing great, but they could be doing better, so this is why I've called our first parent-teacher meeting.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. So, children in other schools are doing something that your kids don't, and I am completely to blame. They're doing homework.
Homework.
And I want your kids to have every advantage that we can give them, so as of tomorrow, I'm going to start assigning homework to the kids. This is what I need from you. 15 minutes. That's all. 15 minutes a day, whether it's after school or when you're having supper at St. Vincent's. Ask your kids what they learned that day. The best part of their day is sharing their stories with you.
Dee smiles.
Okay, and the second thing that I was thinking, we can take a vote on this, is to turn the television room into a study hall 4 afternoons a week for the kids.
What do you mean a study hall?
2 hours in the afternoon, the television goes off.
Candy hangs her head.
And the kids have a quiet, calm place to study and do their homework. And if you can, sit with them. Let them know that what they're doing is important.
So in this study hall, can we smoke?
I'm just messing with you. I'm sorry. No, okay. 2 hours. Right? 2 hours. No TV. No smoking. Who's for it? Up with the hands.
Most of the parents raise their hands.
Come on.
The others follow suit. Gretchen eyes Candy.
Is that up?
Fine.
The surly mother lifts her hand.
Okay, 4's the win. I am so good at this PTA thing.
I think so.
See, this is already making my job that much easier.
You're welcome.
Now in class.
What would you add to make a whole?
Yes.
A quarter. Quarter.
Good. High five.
Stacy moves over to Becca.
All right, so if I take away a quarter, what could you add to make a whole?
Candy sticks her head into the room.
Another quarter.
Grace!
Grace looks over.
Come on, please. Come here.
Stacy sees Candy beckoning her daughter. As Grace rises from her desk and leaves the room, Stacy shoots Nelson an exasperated look.
I got it.
You try to figure this out, all right? What else could you put here?
As the kids study fractions using wedges of paper to fill circles, Stacy strides out of the room. Maria stares after her with a concerned look. In the common area, Stacy finds parents cleaning up for the study hall. She glances around but doesn't see Candy or Grace. Heading back to class, she pauses outside a room. Inside, Grace helps Candy fill out a form.
What does it say right here?
Stacy watches them.
What previous experience do you have in the food service industry?
Put down 4 years in picking. No, put down 4 years in the farm industry.
4 years.
Stacy steps up to the ajar door.
Grace, when you're done helping your mom, will you come back to class, please?
Grace nods.
Candy, meet me in my class at 4.
Grace resumes writing. Later, Johnny carries a tray into the common area.
Hey, everybody, ready to celebrate our first day of study hall? Animal crackers, lions, tigers, bears, anyone?
He sets down the tray. He pours a glass of lemonade and hands it to Maria. In Stacy's classroom, a wall clock reads 4:15. As she cleans her chalkboard, Stacy checks the time. Her shoulders sag and she shakes her head. Candy appears at the door. With a grumpy look, she eyes Stacy through the window, then steps into the room. Stacy continues to clean the board.
What?
Without turning, Stacy lowers her eraser.
You're late.
Candy stares defiantly.
You gonna have me kicked out of here now?
Stacy faces her.
To the big teacher walking around all important?
Stacy rests her hands on her desk.
Candy, do you have trouble reading?
Candy gazes at her with an impassive expression. Swallowing, Stacy gives her an encouraging look.
If you put in the time to learn, I'll put in the time to teach. I know I'm just a beginner, but I have spent years studying reading strategies.
You think you saw something?
Candy glowers.
You think you know anything about me?
Stacy gazes at her with pleading eyes.
It helps your children if you know how to read, Candy.
Shifting her weight, Candy licks her lips, then presses them into a resigned line. Tearing up, she glances away, then gives Stacy a humbled look.
You do that?
She stares gratefully at the teacher, who smiles.
We could do that.
With hopeful eyes, Stacy watches the tearful mother. The corner of Candy's mouth twitches, and she bows her head. Biting her lip, she looks up and shrugs her hand. Stacy's shoulders sag in relief. She collects a textbook and some notebooks from her desk, then walks over to Candy. Sitting beside her, she takes two handouts from a notebook and sets them on the mother's desk. Fade to black. Now in a park, Stacy and Greg sit barefoot on a picnic blanket and watch as Maria tosses Nicole a beach ball. Brandon plays with a frisbee.
What if I taught until the baby's born?
Greg gives her a reserved look. She meets his gaze.
I mean, what if I taught this summer?
Greg shifts his thoughtful eyes.
I didn't know they had summer school.
They don't. But I was thinking if there was summer school, you know, the kids could catch up in areas they like behind in.
Did they ask you to do that? Would you get paid?
No.
Nodding, Greg looks away.
But if I could just keep them off the streets for the summer, you know, give them a boost in math and science.
She shakes her head.
I don't know, it's just a thought.
Greg gazes at the sky.
Have you ever thought about why it's so hard for you to stop?
He gazes at Stacy, who rumples her lips.
Because I've been so lucky.
She tilts her head and briefly locks eyes with him.
Someone came into my life and taught me how to trust.
and taught me to believe in myself.
Greg smiles.
And you know what? I'm pretty good at what I do.
She watches him.
You are the best teacher I've ever had.
Greg's lips spread into a resigned smile.
What am I supposed to say after that?
Shaking his head, he turns away and crooks a grin. He shifts his gaze to Stacy's belly and touches a finger to it.
Last hurrah.
Stacy eyes her stomach. She rubs a loving hand across her full baby bump.
You know what I don't like about summer school?
Stacy lifts her brow.
There's no sports.
He gives his wife a thoughtful look.
What if those kids had a coach?
She eyes him questioningly, and he grins. Pressing a hand to his cheek, she kisses him.
I love you.
She plants more kisses.
All right. There's kids here. Come on.
Now outside the shelter.
Go ahead and just sit it down beside the truck, guys.
A group of men, including Joe and one of the fathers, lifts an upright piano out of a truck bed. From a nearby garden, a kind-faced mother watches. Stacy emerges from her classroom.
Dr. Warren, where did you get this?
Oh, my daughter took lessons 30 years ago, and nobody's touched it since. No, seriously.
Nice truck.
Yeah, borrowed it from one of the guys in Rotary. Hey, I've got some good news. Kids are going to have new classrooms built for them next year.
Listen, will you make sure you find them a great teacher in September? I mean, someone who's more experienced than me. I would just feel so much better about leaving here if you do that.
Dr. Warren nods.
I'm working on it.
He shifts his gaze to the piano.
Well, I better see if this is still in tune.
He moves in front of it and lifts the keyboard cover. Stacy heads inside as he plays. Now a group of kids and adults stand around the piano as the kind-faced mother plays. Leaning on the piano's cabinet, Alex taps his fingers. Dana grins. Stacy brings more kids outside and they crowd around the piano. Joe rests a hand on Gretchen's shoulder. She smiles. Becca bounces her head to the rhythm, and Stacy watches with an impressed look. Now a bucket of softballs sits on the ground in front of Greg, who holds a bat.
Field it. Keep it in front of you. Just roll it back to me, all right? Here we go. Robert, you're first.
He hits the ball, and Robert fields it.
Way to keep it in front of you. Good, Maria.
The ball rolls into Maria's mitt.
That a girl.
Later at the park, Robert dips a cup into a bag of athletic field marking powder. Kneeling at home plate, Greg picks up two base bags.
Okay, guys, here's what we're going to do. Maria, take those. Cole, show her how to set up the bases. Okay, start with first.
A string marks the baseline.
Good, guys.
Now Robert walks beside Greg, who paints a foul line in the grass. Some kids help Dee set up blankets and chairs. At the rail yard, the kind-faced mother finishes playing. She bows.
Good job, Mom.
Thank you, honey.
They hug and she kisses Alex's cheek.
Thank you. Take it inside, boys.
At the park.
Danny, you got the ball. I'd love a swing, right? Hang a rope now, babe. Here we go now, babe.
Greg squats behind Danny, who takes a batter's stance. The students' parents cheer. Grace pitches underhand, and Danny whacks the ball.
Good shot! Yeah, run it out, Danny!
As Danny rounds first, Dana runs back from third to second and grabs her brother.
Come on! Go get him!
Run!
They cross the bag at third, then sprint past the group of cheering parents as they race to home plate. They step on it.
Yeah!
You did it!
Nelson talks into a megaphone.
Nice!
Magenta 3, Viridian 2.
You guys are great.
Dana and Sam's dad joins them.
That's the way, buddy.
At home plate.
Here we go, Nicole. Here we go, babe.
She steps up to bat.
Elbow up, Nick.
Grace winds up the pitch.
Put it in here now.
She tosses the ball and Nicole smacks it.
Nice! Run it out!
With his gaze skyward, Alex watches for the ball. As it drops to the grass, Maria's father approaches and picks it up. Alex stares at him. Mr. Elazar grins at his daughter. A broad smile stretches across her face and she stands. Pushing her batting helmet off her head, she races to her dad, who kneels. She hugs him.
Bobby.
Hijita mia. Oh, mia.
He kisses her cheek. With a concerned look, Stacy rises from amid the cheering parents. Mr. Elazar tosses the ball to Alex, who hurries back to the game. He passes Stacy as she approaches the reunited father and daughter. Standing, Mr. Elazar holds Maria against his chest. She sees Stacy.
Bobby's back.
She grins.
Yeah. Hi, Mr. Elazar.
Hi.
How are you?
I miss my girl.
She missed you, too.
Stacy gives a faint smile. Mr. Elazar glances down at his daughter, then grins at Stacy. He kisses Maria's brow. As he rests his cheek on top of her head, Maria closes her eyes. Stacy nods. Now in Johnny's office, she stands at the shelter manager's desk.
Can you just give him another chance? He's been living out of his truck.
I made the rules very clear, and Carlos broke them.
Listen, if you give him a room, then he won't take Maria away. She can stay in camp. She's been thriving here.
She stares at Johnny with desperate eyes.
Tell him he has a room.
He creases his brow at Stacy in a grumpy look.
Thank you.
She flashes a charming grin. Johnny watches her leave the office, then smiles and shakes his head. Nighttime. At Stacy's, Maria carries her bag of belongings downstairs.
I want you to have my backpack. Don't say goodbye, okay? It's bad luck.
As Maria and Nicole hug, Stacy blinks back tears and looks away. Brandon walks up beside her and she strokes his hair. He gazes up at her.
Why does Maria have to leave?
You know what, sweetie? She's gonna go and stay with her daddy. But we're still gonna see her every day at camp. We're still gonna get to spend some time together.
Okay.
She kisses Brandon's brow and the girls lean their heads together. Daytime. As kids water plants outside, Stacy teaches others in the classroom.
So, light from the sun, plus chlorophyll in the leaves, plus carbon dioxide in the air, combine in photosynthesis to make food for the plant. And in return, the leaves release oxygen for us to breathe.
Sam gazes up at Stacy.
I like that.
What?
When you wear the bracelet.
Stacy glances at her Be My Friend bracelet, then smiles at Sam.
It was you?
The boy shakes his head, then nods with a bashful smile.
It was? Thank you.
She kisses the top of his head.
I love it. I wear it all the time.
Stacy rubs his back as he lowers his gaze shyly. Now Stacy exits the classroom and finds Sam, Dana, and Maria working in the garden.
You guys excited about the open house tomorrow?
Yeah.
Can't wait to show your parents all the wonderful work that you've done.
She hugs and kisses Maria.
Bye. You guys get a big sleep, okay? Have an early night. Okay. Promise?
Sam and Dana hug her.
Bye, Miss Stacy.
The kids run off.
See you tomorrow.
Grinning, she waves after them. She searches her purse as she walks to her car, then finds Greg coaching Danny in the parking lot. Nicole swings a bat.
So, if there's runners on base, pretty much the stretch. Start with your right foot.
Come on, guys!
As she frowns into her purse, Nicole runs up.
Go tell your daddy I'm ready to go.
He's still coaching.
Stacy mouths okay, then loads her bags into her hatchback.
We'll just watch for a bit.
She sits on her car's rear bumper. She wraps an arm around Nicole.
Have a good day.
Nicole sets a hand on her mother's bulging stomach.
It's a big belly, isn't it?
They watch as Danny pitches to Greg.
Good.
Oh, nice.
That actually hurt my hand. Give me five.
As Danny high-fives her husband, Stacy smiles. Now a banner above the classroom's entrance reads, Welcome Parents, Summer Camp, Open House. Stacy finds Candy smoking outside.
Hey, Mama. Hey. You seen Carlos and Maria today?
Candy glances around.
No, not yet. Thanks.
With a worried look, Stacy heads inside. Later, Gretchen eyes a suspension bridge model made of dried pasta.
What am I looking at?
We built a bridge out of spaghetti.
Okay. When can we eat it?
Danny and Robert smile. Gretchen grins, then glances at Joe.
I'm sorry, go on.
It's all about tensile strength. One piece and...
He snaps it in half.
But all together.
He places a toy train on the bridge's sturdy span of bundled spaghetti. Stacy gazes around the room.
Look at that.
Dana shows her dad a plant in a trimmed-down soda bottle.
We learned about photosynthesis.
She points to the dirt.
See those white roots? Roots anchor the plant into the soil. And the root hairs, that's the tiny, tiny hairs on the roots, they absorb the water. Nice.
Brandon watches with his sister and dad. Dana gives a proud grin, and Sam shows a wilting plant in a cup.
What happened to this?
Sam shrugs, and his dad smiles. Nicole points to a counting frame.
Daddy, what is this called?
That is an abacus. They used to use those in China before calculators.
Stacy hurries in from the hallway.
Have you seen Maria?
No.
I can't find her anywhere.
Shaking her head, Stacy rushes back out of the classroom. Outside, she strides between trailers, her gaze scanning the rail yard where shelter residents mill about. As she walks, she props one hand against the small of her back to help support the weight of her belly. Pausing, she sweeps her eyes along the doors of a trailer. She rounds a corner and makes her way to the steps leading up to the Eleazar's room. Climbing them, she lifts her knuckles to the door.
Maria?
She listens for a moment, then turns the door's handle and peers inside. Stepping into the room, she finds it vacant. A note with Miss Stacy written on its front rests on a pillow. Stacy unfolds it and reads.
If I don't say goodbye, I can imagine you're always with me. Love, Maria.
Stacy's eyes fill with tears. Now Johnny uses his office phone.
Please, by Monday this time, okay? You're always late.
Stacy enters.
Yeah, Monday.
Maria and Carlos are gone.
See, I know.
Johnny gives her a sympathetic look.
You can't just leave like that.
That's what happens here. People leave.
Stacy's jaw drops.
This is a temporary shelter. Residents are here until they get back on their feet or decide to just move
on. But he can't just go without not telling us his plans and where he's going.
It's her father. We got no right to tell a parent what to do, where to go. That's the trick. It's not easy.
Stacy's chin trembles. Johnny shakes his head.
You serve. You have no control over what happens.
Stacy wipes away tears.
But you keep serving.
Johnny eyes her tenderly.
You keep serving.
Stacy glances after him as he heads away. Her face crinkles in anguish. Fade to black. In class.
So who else has something they want to share?
We have really good news. Daddy found a job, and we're moving into our own apartment.
That's great, sweetie. What's wrong?
She takes Dana's hand.
Except we won't be going to school here anymore.
Dana hides her eyes.
You know what? You are going to have so much fun at your new school. I promise. You too.
Stacy holds Sam.
You are, and we're so happy for you, aren't we, guys?
The other students nod.
You know, I have something I have to share with you guys, too. At the end of this month, I'm going to have to leave to have this baby.
Becca hugs her. Danny averts his gaze. Grace frowns.
But I love you all so much, and I'm going to come visit as much as I can.
Who's gonna teach us?
Well, our good friend Dr. Warren is already looking for the perfect replacement.
With a betrayed look, Danny storms to the door.
Danny.
Throwing it open, he dons his hat as he strides out of the room. The other kids turn back to Stacy.
You know what?
She gazes at them.
Why don't we go to recess?
Outside, Danny faces a set of tracks and hurls a pebble at a decommissioned train car. He lifts a cigarette to his lips and takes a puff. With her hands clasped over her belly, Stacy trudges over.
Young man, put that cigarette out.
Danny glances at her, then tosses the cigarette away. With his back to Stacy, he shoves his hands in his pockets and spits on the ground. She watches with apologetic eyes as he kicks the gravel, his lips pressed in a line.
You know how proud I am of you? People trust you. You know why? Because you're trustworthy.
Dirt clouds billow with Danny's kicks.
You're a natural-born leader.
Danny pouts. Stacy's shoulders heave.
Which is why, from now until your 18th birthday, I'm going to hunt you down wherever you are and give you a book list, which I expect you to read and report on without fail.
No.
Yes.
Danny gazes into the distance, then turns to Stacy.
How many books?
10 a year.
No way.
Yes way.
A smile touches Danny's lips and his face softens. He watches as Stacy heads away. She pauses and looks over her shoulder.
I will hunt you down and I will find you.
She holds his gaze for a moment, then continues off. Danny stares wistfully into the distance, then watches Stacy hobble back toward the shelter, her hand pressed against the small of her back. Nighttime. At home, Stacy sits up in bed. Pale light seeps through the bedroom windows, silhouetting her heaving chest. As Greg sleeps beside her, she shoves back the covers and swings her legs over the edge of the bed. Her clammy face shines as she flips on her bedside lamp. She reaches over and pushes his shoulder.
Honey. What? We gotta call your mother. It's time.
Time?
It's time.
Time. Okay. Here we go.
He jumps out of bed and grabs a bag.
It's time.
Stacy grimaces as she stands.
This one's coming fast.
Now she cradles a newborn.
Hi, Mackenzie. I'm your brother, Brandon.
Hi, Mackenzie.
Hi.
She looks like a tadpole.
That's the way newborn babies look, buddy.
A nurse strides in.
You have a big family. You have a crowd of your people in the waiting area. About 10 of them claim to be your kids.
Stacy gives a surprised look. Now she holds Mackenzie as Greg pushes her in a wheelchair. Brandon and Nicole walk at her sides. In a waiting area, Stacy's students sit with Candy, Gretchen, Dee, and Alex's mom.
Hi, Miss Stacy. What's her name?
This is baby Mackenzie.
The kids crowd around their teacher.
Miss Stacy, did it hurt?
Don't talk so loud. Can I touch her?
Mackenzie's so little.
Oh, yeah, this is from us.
Eat this.
Danny pulls a plush dog string.
Guys. It was Danny's when he was little. He wants the baby to have it. It's Mackenzie's now.
Stacy gazes down at her baby.
Thank you so much. Look. Hi, that's a nice smile.
Now in a classroom, Dana watches a man as he reads a letter.
To Dana's new teacher. Dana is a delight. She's intelligent, perceptive, and has a special aptitude for science. Dana is kind, protective of others, and has enormous strength of character. I know you will enjoy having her in your class. Sincerely, Stacy Bess, Shelter School.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Dana. Glad to have you in our class.
Thank you. Can I have my letter back? That's from my teacher.
Grinning, Dana's new teacher returns the letter. She smiles, then heads to a desk. Setting her backpack down, she carefully slides the letter into her pocket. Now at home, Stacy cradles Mackenzie at a table. She answers the phone.
Hello?
Hello? Miss Stacy?
Maria? Maria, where are you?
I'm here at Mia Buena's. My grandmother's house is in El Paso. And guess what? I just started junior high. And it's not like I'm the new kid, because everybody's new in seventh grade.
Stacy's eyes fill with tears.
I just wanted you to know that I'm not going to forget you.
I'm not going to forget you. You let me know how you're doing, okay? How school is, and you stay in school. You promised me you're going to stay in school.
Of course I'm staying in school. I'm going to be a teacher, just like you.
A tear slides down Stacy's cheek.
Stacy?
Yeah, I'm here.
Say hi to Nicole and Brandon for me.
Stacy nods.
I will.
Promise, we won't ever say goodbye. Okay?
Okay.
With a smile, Maria hangs up. Stacy does as well, then gazes down at Mackenzie. Now she holds her baby in one arm as she enters Dr. Warren's office.
Knock, knock. Hi.
The superintendent smiles.
Hey. There she is.
Dr. Warren.
Oh, my goodness.
You wanted to meet her?
I do.
He rises from his desk.
Yeah, why don't we do it this way?
You want to get to hold her?
Oh, he gently takes Mackenzie from Stacy's arms.
Oh, yeah.
Telling you, she's the easiest baby I've ever had. She just eats and sleeps on schedule. We pretty much just wait at home for Nicole and Brandon to get home from school. Yeah, that's what we do.
Oh, she is so beautiful.
Isn't she?
Put you down.
There we go.
He sets her in a portable bassinet.
Oh, she is gorgeous.
How's our school?
Great. Construction starts in the spring. But the best part is the new legislation. Next year is going to be easier for homeless students to register at any school in the district.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, we want to add to our teaching staff.
He gives her a meaningful look.
So think about it.
Gazing at him, Stacy smiles. Dr. Warren eyes Mackenzie. Stacy turns away, her lips forming a pensive line. Nighttime. Stacy lifts her head off her pillow and glances at a crib sitting near Greg's side of the bed. Flipping on her lamp, she rises. She walks over to the crib, reaches inside, and picks up Mackenzie. Holding the baby against her chest, she bounces her gently, then kisses her head. Later, Mackenzie lies in a blanket-lined bassinet, which sits on a chair. Stacy sits kitty-corner, her hand gently playing with the baby's feet as she flips through a photo album. Turning a page, she gazes at images of Alex and Sam. She shifts her eyes to one shot of Danny in his cowboy hat and Nelson teaching the kids about colors. In the bassinet, Mackenzie wiggles her foot and Stacy releases it. Greg enters the room. He leans over Stacy's shoulder and eyes the album. Stacy's gaze remains on the photos.
I miss them.
I know.
She glances at Greg.
I don't want to put Mackenzie in daycare. I mean, we can't afford it anyways.
She flips to a photo of Robert with his arm around Dana and Nicole.
I'm not done yet.
She looks up at Greg and he meets her gaze.
I know.
He kisses her head. Now in the classroom, Stacy's former students do work at their desks.
Attention, everyone. Attention!
They look at their new teacher.
This morning we will have someone coming to class. This person will be team teaching with Mr. Parker and me.
Danny frowns.
I think you'll find with three teachers, you'll be very busy students.
The teacher smiles.
Mrs. Vess.
Stacy enters with Mackenzie.
Hi.
As the kids race over, the other teacher smiles at Nelson. Grace hugs Stacy. Stacy dons Danny's cowboy hat. Now she carries Mackenzie to her bassinet and sets her inside. She covers the baby with a blanket, then pulls the string on Danny's plush dog, which she tucks next to her daughter.
Okay.
She sits with her students.
So, who wants to share next?
She lifts her brow.
How about our new friend Annie? You want to share something with us?
How'd you get here, Annie?
We lost our house. My mom says we got each other and that we're gonna be okay.
You will be.
Danny gives her a reassuring nod.
Does anyone want to share their story with Annie?
Becca raises her hand.
Becca?
She clamps her hands over her mouth.
What are you doing?
Becca shrugs.
You want to share something?
She averts her gaze.
Does anyone want to share something?
Later. Alex's mother plays piano as the students, teachers, and some parents stand around her and sing. Bundled in a blanket, Mackenzie rests in Stacy's arms. Shifting her gaze from the piano, Stacy holds up a finger for them to wait. Plants and posters tremble, and grit rains from the ceiling. Stacy watches with a patient look, then nods at Alex's mom. Nelson and Dee exchange a grin. Stacy beams as she sings with the group. Fade to black. Now we see a photo of Stacy's students at the park. Words appear. The McKinney-Vento Homeless Act was passed in 1987 to ensure the rights of homeless children to an education. In 1988, a new school was built for the homeless children of Salt Lake City. We see a photo of Maria smiling and one of Danny at bat. Stacy Best continued to teach for 8 more years. In 1995, Stacy was awarded the National Jefferson Award for greatest public service by an individual 35 years or under. She continues to speak around the country to promote education and community service. In a group photo, Stacy stands behind her students and smiles. Fade to black.